We thank you, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power, for your strength, for your supernatural touch, O Lord. Amen and amen. You know, just sort of from a pastor's heart tonight, as we face the year that is before us, really our message and our mission is Jesus Christ. Our message and our mission is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but Jesus Christ resurrected. And, you know, having lived a little while and knowing a little something about the ministry, you see different times and different emphases, and sometimes people say, well, this is the total emphasis. I know there was a time when the total crucified life was just all that you heard for a while, and unfortunately the man that was so strong on that in the Dallas area fell in his own life. So obviously the principles of whatever the crucified life were for him, he didn't hold to it. You know, settle this in your heart. It's all of it. It's all of it. It's the birth of Christ. I mean, some people say, well, I see no value or see little value in all the Christmas. Thank God we still have what we can call Christmas. I'm not going to argue the date with you. Amen. We're not here to argue the date. But I thank God that even the merchants still sing many of our songs. And thank God, I thank God for what's left, and I thank God for what's going to be gaining momentum. After all these years, they still sing our songs. And if you listen to the real Christmas songs, I know there's a lot of Frosties and Snowmans and all this, but if you listen to the words of the real Christmas songs, there's a lot of gospel. It's all about Jesus, and it lifts Him up and exalts Him. So the birth of Jesus was on this wise, Matthew said in Matthew chapter 1. The birth of Jesus is very important. It's all important. A baby changes everything in a family, but that baby changed everything from that moment forward in life. There was the birth of Christ, and then there was the life of Christ. Thank God how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, because God was with him. Thank God for the Gospels. And, you know, it's just amazing. People say, well, the Gospels, that's old hat. Hey, honey, just kiss the whole book, okay? Embrace the whole book. Hallelujah. No, we're not keeping the law to be saved. You couldn't be saved by keeping the law in the Old Testament. But thank God for the Word of God and for the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oral Roberts, I've heard him tell the story many times. The way that God gave him a healing ministry was as a minister reading through the four Gospels on his knees. He read the four Gospels in the book of Acts on his knees. I forget hundreds of times. I forget how many times. But on his knees, he would read it and then pray in the Spirit and then read it and pray in the Spirit. And, of course, God gave him a powerful healing ministry. So there's the birth of Christ. There's the life of Christ. And we see how that he went around doing good, helping, healing, strengthening, blessing people. And then there was the death on the cross. And some people say, well, the cross is the only message. You've got to connect Jesus to the cross, or the cross is just a wooden piece of lumber. The real message of the cross, the real message of the cross is the finished work of Calvary, that it was on that cross that Jesus bore the sins of the world, the curses of the world, the sewer of the world, the lowest of the low of the world. even the man that wrote Amazing Grace. And isn't that amazing, that Amazing Grace, do you know they say there's some 200 versions of Amazing Grace that are still going around the world after all these years? And then, of course, coming back to the Holy Bible, there was a time when they tell us on good authority there were only 3 to 4 copies in existence in the world. And this evil world system of that day and time, years ago, was during the Dark Ages, was trying to stamp out every semblance. But somehow, through it all, God has kept this word for us. And we have this word tonight. Thank God we have the Holy Bible. You say, well, there's a mistake here. There's a mistake there. Well, you know, honestly, and you can call me old hat if you want to, old school if you want to, but I think overall the truest translation of manuscripts, no translation is perfect. I mean, it's perfect in its content, but I mean, there can be a sentence or there can be something that could have been said better. But really, I really believe that the most accurate, and I've studied this and I've listened to it and I've studied it and listened to it, I believe the most accurate interpretation coming from the old manuscripts is the King James. I don't believe that God speaks in Elizabethan English, and I'm not trying to put that on you. But I don't know, there's just an anointing. I've read this for so many years, there's just an anointing. If you can handle the King James saith and just read it. You say, well, I don't understand it. Man, where were you educated? Read the Bible. You've got to depend on the Holy Spirit to illuminate this Bible. Amen. I'm still understanding parts of it. All right, but you know, thank God you got to read it, and you've got to read it with faith, and you've got to read it in giving the Holy Spirit a chance to interpret that. You can take one verse, one chapter, 2 or 3 verses, and spend a day or spend a week or spend a month. The Word of God, you can't find the bottom of it. You can't find the bottom of it. Every time I read it, I see something different. So the death on the cross, what is the message of the cross? Everything in the New Testament is tied into the finished work of the cross. I agree with that. Everything in the New Testament is tied into the finished work of the cross. The finished work of the cross was not that just He died for all of our sins, but oh, thank God, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Whatever we were, we aren't. And we're in the process of being everything that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us to be. We're in that process. Hallelujah. And one of the things that we've taught for years in this church is you need to know, you must know. You can't be strong if you don't know who you are and what you have in Christ. And the message that was brought this morning, you know, we've brought a semblance of this message off and on and on and on. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. I have to preach this to myself daily. I mean, this old tongue gets you in trouble, you know. I mean, you can be praying in tongues in the next 5 minutes, be speaking negativisms if you don't watch it. And folks, as the coming of the Lord is near, we're going to have to put a governor on our tongue. We're going to have to daily just say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Christian life is not just a group of cute little sayings or just saying, acting or saying religious things. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to speak like Jesus. I want my words to glorify Him. I want my words to be the Word of God. So the birth of Jesus, absolute necessary. The life of Jesus, thank God, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. God was with Him. The death on the cross, oh God, it will take eternity for us to thoroughly and even start to understand how powerful His death on the cross really was. Praise God. He wasn't just a prophet who got caught and someone got mad at him and then nailed him to a cross. When they put him on that cross, he didn't have to stay there. He sweat drops of blood and agonized, said, "Father, if it's possible." When he saw and smelled and tasted, and he was just on the eve of everything that the cross included, "Father, if it's possible, let this cross, let this pass from me, this cup. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Thank God, thank God. Remember the soldier that said, "If you are the Son of God, come down off that cross." But because he was the Son of God, he stayed on that cross. Hallelujah. So the death of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, this church has been very protected. And I don't apologize for that. We just don't have a bunch of crud floating around and all kind of crazy doctrines and nutty stuff and nutty things. And, you know, we just don't chase the crazy. We don't. We need the basics of God's Word. Listen, there's enough in this book to keep us busy until Jesus comes. You don't have to get some doctrine as crazy as a fruitcake, you know. Yeah. But, you know, I never thought I'd see the day when they'd say, "Well, you know, Jesus was just another man," or the day when the blood of Jesus is not that big a deal, or that Satan is going to get saved one of these days. You know, there's just all kinds of crazy things that this, thank God we haven't had to put up with around Calvary. Amen. We've kept our doctrine straight. We've stayed in the Word of God, and I thank God for that. But the death on the cross, thank God for the cross. Some say, "Well, we don't need to sing about the cross anymore." Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We don't need to sing about the blood. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We need to sing about the blood. We need to celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that on that cross, not only was every sin that you've ever committed taken care of, but oh, that Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. That you can shake off every craziness of your family tree. And some people try to hide under the shadow of generational curses. Let me tell you something. The cross of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any crazy thing your family ever did. Amen. Hallelujah. All of our families have something. If you check our family trees, all of us have somebody hanging back there. You know, somebody got in trouble. Somebody was in a mess. If you just knew the real truth about things. But you know, that my real family is my Father's family. Hallelujah. And whether you came from a good family or a bad family, you've got a good family right now because you're in the family of God. Amen. So everything in the New Testament, all the truths of the New Testament, all the promises, all the wonderful things that are there are tied into the finished work of the cross. And you'll learn more about this in Calvary Cathedral Bible College. And of course, our classes start again tomorrow. And here we are for all these years teaching people. Why? Because no minister, no pastor, no staff person can tell a church everything that we'd like for you to know on a Sunday morning or even a Sunday night. And now with churches only with one service a week, dear Lord, and that watered down, no wonder people are so weak. I said, no wonder people are so weak. And the fact is that very few people seriously read the Bible. Very few people seriously read the Bible, and very few people take time to pray. You need, if we don't have those in the bookstore, there are, you can get it online. Get you a reading through the Bible schedule, and you know, get into it, and you're not going to go to hell if you mess up for a week or whatever, you know. It's not a condemnation thing, but there's power in reading the Word of God and finding out who we are and what we have in Christ. Frieda Lindsay, she told me in a conversation, I've heard her publicly in her lifetime, how that God used that woman to raise up Christ for the, to continue the development of Christ for the nations. Gordon was a writer. He was not a builder. He was not a fundraiser. He was a precious man of God. But God used that little woman. Someone said, what can that little woman in tennis shoes do? Let me tell you something. There's very few things in life that are strong as a woman with a made-up mind. And then thank God when it's made up the right way, it's a force for righteousness. And she said, God, why have you used me to do the things that you've used me to do? She said, the Lord said, because you've honored my word. Because you've honored my word. You honor God's word, and God's word will honor you. Well, but now wait a minute. We got to go to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 said it's all in vain if he's not raised from the dead. So it's important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. It's all important. The birth is important. His life is important. His death on the cross is, that's the pivotal point of all of it. But you can't just stay there. You've got to go on to the resurrection because he is alive. And then you've got to come to something that has changed all of our lives. The power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God's calling the church. I know he's calling this church. I know he's calling me. I'm depending more on the Holy Spirit today than I've ever depended on the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I said, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, as you carefully as you just read here in Acts, the first chapter, you know, the Bible tells us that, they heard something. They heard something. They heard, after all these things, Luke said they heard something. They heard about Jesus. And they obeyed something. The command of Jesus himself was, Jesus commanded them, you shall not leave Jerusalem, but tarry until you be endued with power from on high. The command of the Holy Spirit. The command of the Holy Spirit. Thank God it's a good command. It's a helper command. It's a strengthener command. It's a supernatural command. And so it was a command. Some people say, well, is the Holy Spirit necessary? I don't know how people make it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. He will guide you into all truth. I'll tell you, we need the Holy Spirit today. You know why Halloween has had a resurrection? Because there has not been sufficient resurrection of the Holy Spirit. We need to turn that around. Halloween was almost dead in the water. It wasn't that many years ago. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, Halloween's pretty hairy, scary time. I mean, mean and strange things and mischievous things happened. Then it got to where virtually nothing was happening. Now the world is celebrating it. It's in our public schools. And Halloween is bigger than Christmas as far as making money. Did you know that? Halloween is bigger than Christmas. No wonder the merchants are going after it. But friend, the answer to stuff like that, T.L. Osborne said man is incurably hungry for the supernatural. There's something in us that is incurably hungry for the supernatural power of God. And I'm hungry to see the power of God operate in a greater and in a stronger measure. Shibarakarakasai. Amen. So to that group of disciples, 500 heard it. 500 people heard it. Only 120 people obeyed. It's like Mark the 4th chapter, 4 soils, but only one soil brought forth 30, 60, 100 fold. Something happened. Only one soil went all the way into the things that were promised there. Amen. And you know, I don't mean it to be unkind or tacky, but most churches aren't pursuing the Holy Spirit. We're raising a generation of managers, not ministers. And it's getting to where it's almost like an Amway club. I'm not against Amway, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's almost like a pyramid type of thing that is just a mechanical thing. You get X number of people together. But the estimate is, it's scary, some of the estimates that have come back in of a high percentage of some of these fastest growing whatevers are not even born again. They go for the benefits. They go for the for the perks. They go for the for something, I don't know, soothe the conscience or whatever. But let me tell you, a raw, red-hot Holy Ghost church is a rarity nowadays. Thank you for those two amens. We can't make it without the Holy Spirit. I said we can't make it without the Holy Spirit. There's no program that's greater than the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that is greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. There was the command, don't leave Jerusalem without it. They heard that. They obeyed something. The commandments of Jesus. This was the commandment of Jesus. This was the last thing that he said before he went away. Here's what he said. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Thank God for water, but thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's all, and that's something else. That's something else. We need to bear, staff, we need to bear down. Anyone in this church that has not been water baptized, you need to get yourself upstairs and let's make an appointment and let's do it. I was associate pastor, and it dawned on me from the time that I committed my life to the Lord, and there were some years that I did my thing, and then I was in the ministry, and I thought, I need to be baptized. And I was working with my father-in-law at that point, and he looked around, and he said, what are you doing here, son? I said, I came to be baptized. We had a baptismal service, and I brought my jeans and got ready and was baptized. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the answer to a good conscience. It doesn't save you, but it's the answer to a good conscience before God. And if it's important for Jesus, it's important for you. So he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the world. Oh, it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was the outpouring of the Spirit. There was the outpouring of the Spirit. And then there was the beginning of harvest, 3,000 souls. Thank God. Are you hungry for harvest? Are you hungry for harvest? They waited on something. They heard something. They waited on something. They were united. They were united. They were united in the upper room. Oh, they had a little deviation there. They thought they had to start doing a bunch of church voting there. And so they voted to replace Judas. And the lot fell on Matthias. And I don't know anything about him because the Word of God never said anything else about him. You never hear of him again because it was a vote of man, not of the Holy Spirit. Most Bible scholars would agree that Paul was the one that filled that number 12 spot, that Judas fell by transgression. But we'll not tarry there. They waited on something. They waited. There was patience. There was patience. You know, we need to relearn some patience. For you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. Abraham, through faith and patience, obtained the promises. You think everything I've believed God for happened instantly over these 51 years now we've been pastor of this church? There are things that took time to come to pass. The promised child to Abraham didn't come overnight. I mean, you know, we get all upset if God doesn't answer our prayer before sunrise, but you go into the Bible, there was some time that went by before things came to pass. I don't know how much time came to pass before Zacharias and Elizabeth had John the Baptist, the young baby that, of course, was John Baptist. But they were praying about that. But thank God the angel came one day. Oh, I feel it in my spirit. Let me say it again. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is being processed. And your prayer shall come to pass. Write that down. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is being processed. And your prayer shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's what was ministered this morning. Fear not, believe only. Believe only, fear not. Amen. So they were united in something. And you know, that's the thing that I'm so thrilled about our church. There's a new unity in this church. We may have a few less folks than we've had, but thank God there's a unity that I haven't. There's just a new unity. That's all I know to say. You can sense it. You can feel it. You can see it. It's, whew, hallelujah. There was a new unity. There's something about it. They were in one place and in one accord. Hallelujah. There was no one-upmanship. They were all on the same team. Amen. Praise God. You know, that must have been a challenge to the flesh to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, today we don't have to sit around and wait for the Holy Spirit, but after we receive the Holy Spirit, you do need to spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, God, I've got myself locked into a time. The Spirit of God wakes me up in the morning. And you know, your quiet time, it is the golden time to receive from God. Before the noises, before the phone calls, before things and people are stirring. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be long. But I mean, just sit down and sit in the presence of God and just begin to sing some of these praise songs and worship Him. Give Him glory and honor and praise. Pray in the Spirit. That's the way. What happened Thursday night and what happened this morning, God showed that to me in the Spirit. I mean, I saw that. I saw that in the Spirit. And, of course, we got folks on both ends of the house there. So, but I couldn't help it. I just started laughing. I don't, no one said whether they heard me laugh. But I don't know when I've laughed as hard as I've just begun to laugh in the kitchen there. Praise God. And Kara came out of nursery this morning. She said, Thursday night, I don't know where she was, but she said, I heard that big flush, and I thought, what's Pastor up to now? She's busy working with the children back there. And praise God. But, you know, I saw that in the Spirit. I saw that. And I prayed about it, and I thought, Lord, that's a little too far out. And I couldn't get away. I knew what I needed to do. And more people have said, you know, it emphasized, it was an emphasis. It was an illustration that we need. You'll remember that. I hope you took a picture of that. And you'll remember that. Because you're going to need to do a lot of flushing this year, okay? I'm talking about spiritually, all right? Amen. We're going to have to flush the craziness of hell down the drain. Keep it where it ought to be. Amen. I better not say any more about that. I'll get in trouble here. Amen. I had to figure out how to describe all that anyway. But they were united. They were united. They were united. And church, I just call us together. You know, there's a new unity. I sense a new unity. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. We're going to believe God together. We're going to pray together. We're going to expect the goodness of God together. And the Bible said they heard something. They heard a sound. They heard a sound. You know, when folks get in unity, they hear a sound. They heard a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it wasn't a destructive tornado or a destructive hurricane. They heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. They heard something. On the day of Pentecost, they saw something. They saw something. Cloven tongues like as a fire. They saw something. Hallelujah. They heard something. They saw something. And they said something. Shobarakia rabakora bakasai. Amen. They received a new prayer language. Some people say all that is foreign languages. Well, that's a prayer language if you don't know a foreign language. And on that occasion, I agree with that because people were there from all over the world. And it was a vehicle to preach the Word of God. But it's not necessarily always that way. You've heard me tell the story of Tommy Hicks when he was in Russia. And his interpreter spit in his face when he talked about the blood of Jesus. And she's, you know, I have nothing of this bloody religion. And he just began to pray in the Spirit, but he didn't realize that he was praying in Russian, though he didn't know Russian. He didn't really speak good English, but he didn't know Russian. But he preached, and he gave an altar. He gave the plan of salvation, gave a healing appeal, baptism of the Holy Ghost appeal. Hallelujah. And had revival, praying in the Spirit. Oh, you know, one night I was, it was downtown, or was it in the post office? I don't remember. It was maybe the latter days there. But my brother just had gone through a real terrible time in his life. And everything in his life had just been pulled apart at that point. And in fact, he hadn't been to church in some time. And he came one night, and the Spirit of God moved on me. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And he came up to me after the service, and he was white. And as he said, "Brother, when did you take foreign languages?" I said, "Very meager Spanish. Este es el perro, burro, you know, el chico, you know, Taco Bell." I repent for that. I wished I'd realized how wonderful it could have been. Maybe we can still negotiate there somewhere. But he came and he said, "When you were praying in the Spirit tonight, you were speaking fluent German. And God spoke some things to his heart." Oh, don't sell the Holy Ghost short. Don't. And it made a difference in his life at that point. Oh, thank God. They began to speak. They said something. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I heard a precious man. He's still on the radio today, even though he's dead, and they still play his teaching. And the majority of his teaching is good. But I remember him back years ago. He said, "The only place you hear tongues is in the second chapter of the book of Acts." And I thought, well, now, the man's got an earned doctorate, and he's a Bible scholar, and he teaches, you know, he really is a learned man, has a lot of books. How come he doesn't know about those other two places in the book of Acts where they spoke with other tongues? There, Pentecost isn't the only place where they spoke with other tongues. Amen. Praise be unto God. It's in the Word of God. And we can't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Dave Reaver told me, it was a shock. We were talking the other day. He's a precious man. He said, "Pastor," he said, "you know, this is only the third church in 2015 that I've been in where I heard anyone speaking in tongues. Only the third church," and he preaches in a bunch of them. Only the third church. We've got to keep alive. It's our DNA. I said, that's part of our DNA. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for your prayer language. Hallelujah. And I believe we'll see the value of that stronger in the year to come. We'll be saying more and teaching more along those lines. They said something. They spoke with other tongues. Hallelujah. You know, some of you around here amaze me. I get you to praying and I hear you speaking with other tongues. I thought, man, there's a whole new person there. Hallelujah. I mean, a whole new person rises up within you when you start praying in the Spirit. A whole new force, a whole new power, a whole new insight rises up within you. Hallelujah. All right, I've got two or three more here. They did something about what they heard. They did something. Church, listen to me. It's a word from God that God's spoken to my heart. I think I have clear understanding to some folks that aren't here anymore. Here's the thing. We're not a perfect church. I don't say we're a perfect, you know, well, no church is perfect. And according to some people's standards, if they found the perfect church, they'd mess it up. Amen. But I tell you, it's time that we get back to what God's Word says. When something is preached, now listen to me, when God makes a truth real to your heart, don't ignore truth. Like the message this morning, the message this morning. I think of the message that our brother brought, Brother Rick DeBose brought that message on the importance of Sunday, the importance of the house of God. That's one of the strongest messages I've heard. I just like to take it and replay it for the, or have him come back and re-preach it for the whole place. See, if we understand what all this is really all about, and this stays the main thing with us, we're going to see this church explode. But we can't just, you've got to get serious about the things of God. And there's a carelessness in the kingdom of God. There is a carelessness in the kingdom of God. It's one of the griefs of my spirit. I just have to keep it on the altar. But there's a value. Man, when it's been ingrained in me since I was a kid, even when I wasn't doing right, it was ingrained in me. It was prayed into me. I was exposed to preaching and exposed to great men and women of God. And even though I spent about a year doing my own thing, I couldn't get away. Couldn't get away from the Spirit of God. Folks, we need God. I need God. You need God. This church needs God. America needs God. We need God more now than we've ever needed God. I mean, outside of God, this nation's in a mess. You understand that? But thank God there's hope on the horizon. I'm on the positive side of this. Amen. I'm on the positive side of it. Amen. But God expects us to do something about the word we hear. If you hear the word, and there's people that have heard the word and did beautifully for a given period of time. I think of a half dozen people that came into this church. Man, they got in here and got into Bible college and they went in outreach. And I mean, well, they were doing this and in the power tower. And I mean, they were just blowing smoke. Yeah, this is the most wonderful church I've ever seen in my life. And I can think of some that graduated from Bible college. And then carelessness came into their life. Carelessness came into their life. The ways of the world, the ways of this culture. John Hall said it best, everything in this culture is to get you away from God. Everything in this culture. Everything in this culture is to get dumb us down, to dumb preachers down, to dumb pastors down. And dumb. You don't need church. You don't need tithe anymore. You don't need to pray. You're in grace. I mean, God, sure, God loves you. And it may not be heaven or hell, but let me tell you something, friend. It'll be hell on earth. If you know what to do and you refuse to go with God. I don't know if I said that right, but what I'm saying, we need to do what God said to do. We need to be hungry for God. And if we'll hunger and thirst after Him, He'll show us what to do and how much to do or how little to do or where to do and what to do. But we need to do something about what we heard and we hear. And the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, thank God, 3,000 souls. I am drunk on the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you what I'm saying. In 1993, we saw downtown a totally impossible outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The people that came, all the people that came, where they came from, how they came, there wasn't sufficient advertisement, the whole thing. God orchestrated by the power of the Holy Spirit because He saw a church and a pastor that was hungering and thirsting after God. And I said, God, we've got to have revival. We've got to have revival. We don't have a choice. And God poured out His Spirit. And many of you were there. How many were in some of those services in 93? All right. That's not a bad dream or a good dream. That's reality. And God did it before, and God can do it again. Hallelujah. I said God has done it before, and I believe God's going to do it again. But somebody's got to get hungry. Somebody's got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Some church has got to get hungry. Some church has got to say, Oh God, we must have more of your power and more of your moving. 3,000 people showed up. Where did they come from? Who emailed them? What television station were they watching? What, whose radio broadcast did they hear? How in the world? Explain to me how 3,000 people got there. You can't. I can't. It was the power of the Holy Ghost, because God can do what I can't do. God can do what you can't do. God can do what we can't do. We do our part. We must do our part. But let me tell you, we still serve a supernatural God. And God has not poured into us. I'll look across this audience tonight, and if I got started, there'd be no way to stop. I just think, Joe and Becky, I just think of what you have seen, what your eyes have seen, what your ears have heard. You've been a part of things that are, you can't explain them. God, your whole family with Baptist background, thank God for the Baptist. My father's a Baptist. But oh, thank God, Baptist Plus. Amen. I think of the things that you've seen. Praise God. Sharon, I just think of the things you've seen, honey. You've been raised as a child in this church. You've seen supernatural. Oh, every service is not the same, and every sermon's not the same, and all is not the same. But you've seen the power of God. I look at Janice McCartney. She's here tonight. Janice has seen just about everything in this church from about the first 2 or 3 years that you and Brother Bill started attending. Of course, he's in heaven, has been for several years. I just think of what's stored up in you. What's stored up in you. And I think of my own children. Praise God. Amen. And I look at Charlie and Laurie, Episcopalian background. They didn't have the background I had. They came in and said, wow, you mean? They had good families. Their families were honorable and good, and they love God, and they're born again. But, I mean, this good Episcopalian folks, they didn't know about all this crazy full gospel stuff. Didn't know about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it got in their hearts, and they said, we're going to have it. We're going to have all of it. We're going to pursue it. We're going after it. We're going to get all that God has for us. And I don't see any evidence that they've backed off of that. It's one reason God's blessed them. You've been in this church all these years. And I can't get started calling this. Think of the gospel that you have seen. Think of the gospel that you have heard. Think of the personalities that many of you have heard Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, though many have not in this modern generation. You've seen the Marilyn Hickey, 84 years old, still going all over the world, believing God for signs, wonders, and miracles. You've seen, you've heard, you've seen people that go all over the world, This church is not ignorant concerning the things of God. But what does God want us to do? Not back up, let up, or shut up, but God wants us to go forward in faith with what we've heard, with what we know. Praise God. In all of my ministry, I have never seen soul winning as easy as it is now. It's always been necessary, but a burden to bear. You know, well, I'll bear my cross and I'll go out and tell somebody about Jesus. But these soul winners, my Lord God, the anointing of God that is upon Shabrikia Rabakasai. Everybody may not have the same anointing and the same leading or guiding or whatever, but there's a gift inside every one of you. There's a gift inside every one of you. There's an anointing. There's a DNA of the Holy Ghost in every one of you. And you can never be content. I could never be content with less. Never. Never, never. Never, never. I've gone through more friendships in going through different times and seasons. Some people say, oh, my dear friend, Well, if your dear friend drags you down, you better get you a friend that'll pull you up, or you can pull them up. Amen. We got to go forward. Tom Archer, you've seen the power of God. God's given you some of the strongest songs that I've ever heard in my life. I believe in your ministry of songs. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. So what am I saying? They did something about what they heard. 3,000 souls came in. 3,000 souls came in. And I've got to probably bring this to a conclusion, but the Bible said they, in the second chapter, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. Now you got, I heard someone there say, well, it's all grace now. The faith message is gone. Come on, grow up. It's all of it. Amen. Grace provides, but faith obtains. Takes two wings for a bird to fly. It's faith and grace. Hallelujah. We're a faith church, but we're a grace church. We're a church of the cross. We're a church of Pentecost. Hallelujah. We're a church of the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe in all of it. Praise God. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. All that believed. This was not communism. This was they all helped one another. And that's New Testament. That's New Testament. We all help one another. We all need one another. Amen. Sheep need a shepherd. And I believe we finally got this thing balanced out around here now, and we know who the pastor is. Amen. Praise God. But I don't feel myself to be a dominator or a dictator or whatever. God has given me the anointing to be a pastor. And wherever I go, I start pastoring something. On an airplane, I start pastoring. I mean, when I see a need, I start pastoring. I have to grab myself, be sure that I'm on the right track. Hallelujah. I see a sheep that needs help. My shepherd's heart goes after that. Praise. They're not my sheep, but I want to help them. Praise God. They continued together. Folks, for those of us that are here tonight, and then of course all the other wonderful people that attend this church, if we'll just hold steady together, keep the right spirit, amen, stay with a positive faith attitude. I meant what we did Thursday night and this morning, all I did was obey God in that. It's time to flush the negatives down the drain. Amen. No matter who say, she say, they say, who say. Amen. Praise God. Because the word will never leave you like it found you. The word will never leave you. I have received word that I can't get away from. I have received so much word that what I mean, it's a decision that I still have to make. I don't want to get away from the word that I've heard. Amen. I'm more fascinated by the ministry today than I've ever been. I'm more zealous in my spirit. I have to work smarter, not harder, but, you know, it's taken a lifetime to learn some things. And God wants me to impart that to younger ministers or to whoever. And we have some things that we'll be sharing this year. There's a lot of things that God's going to use to strengthen all of our lives. I want us to stand tonight, if you will. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what I want us to do. They heard something. They obeyed something. Oh, they waited on something. They said something. They saw something. They spoke something filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you'd just join me in just reaching out and saying, Lord, show me how you want to use me this year. Lead me. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Praise God. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.